AutoFinancing.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
This is Free America broadcasting on the Rod Echols Show with a message to all patriots trapped behind the lines in California, New York, Boston, and Chicago. Don't give up, true lovers of America. Even as we speak, moves are being made to drive the invaders back to the land from which they came. Defeat the would-be dictators and lift the chains of tyranny from around your neck. Stay strong. Stay brave. You're not forgotten, and you're not alone. Until next time, patriots, this is Free America signing out.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Ecclesiastes all across the globe, it is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from the magical, wonderful Bunkerize studio located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where it is another mostly cloudy morning. I thought we were going to get some sun to dry out. We'll have to wait and see. If you haven't heard, there's been flooding up and down the East Coast, in the Northeast. New Jersey got hit hard the other day, I guess, 8 inches total in some parts of New Jersey. Massachusetts, places in Massachusetts have had some flood watch or flash flood watches in place. I haven't heard too much about flash flood warnings here in New Hampshire. Now, New Hampshire, for 3 years in a row back in the early 2000s, got hammered in various parts of the state. Thankfully, it wasn't the same part of the state each year, but there was a little Alton, New Hampshire, a little village out on the southwest end of the state. Basically, if you want to call it a downtown, it got wiped out all those years ago back in the early 2000s. It was like 2003 or so. So we've had our share of flooding here. There was a year where the state's highway budget was wrecked because, well, the water literally washed away some major roads. There are bunches of places. That whole notion that you hear them say down east, which is, you know, for those of you in Rush Limbaugh's Rio Linda, that's another way of saying Maine and Mainers, down easters. They have a saying, you can't get there from here. And that's really pretty damn true. There's usually one way and to get in or get to someplace. And if you can't get to that place that way, you've got to go way around in order to get to it. So the state couldn't pussyfoot around on some of the roads that got washed out because you had to go way around in order to get where you wanted to go. I mean, in one particular case, if you wanted parts of, I think it was Route 12 that got washed out, if you wanted to go, you know, just 5 miles to the town north of you, you literally had to go south, then go west into Vermont, go up the highway north, then cross over into New Hampshire, and then go south. You know, a trip that could have taken you 5 minutes now took you over an hour. That's what I'm talking about. You had to go way around. So they had to bust the budget in order to fix some of those roads. I mean, some roads you can say you can put them aside and wait. And there are many parts of the country that are like that. People understand what I'm talking about. If one road gets washed out, you got to go way around in order to get to wherever you want it to go. So I don't know if that's the case in New Jersey, because a lot of the it's more New Jersey is a lot more congested than northern New England. So there are probably lots of alternatives, but again, those roads got washed out too, a lot of them. So hopes and prayers down there for New Jersey that they get back on their feet as quickly as possible in those flooded out areas. I mean, I heard on the news, people went to work, you know, they got up, went to work, left their beautiful home, came back, and it was flooded out, or you know, what have you. And I guess a lot of people returned home from work to find that the state basically is saying that their house is uninhabitable because it was damaged that much. How'd you like to have that happen? You know, you wake up in the morning, everything is pretty much all copacetic. You go to school, you go to work, you come home at 4 or 5 or 6 in the evening and find out you don't have a house anymore. Yeah, that's a wake-up call. That's a sobering thought. Anyway, we got a lot to cover this morning. We got the Intel report coming up in the second hour. We've got some more Amarosa news. I know people are just chomping at the bit about Amarosa. We got some going to get right into some of these. We got some news out of Vermont from the primary yesterday. Facebook and Twitter are at it again. But first, I wanted to address something that seems to be trending over on Twitter. Hashtag Queen Radio. I didn't know what it was. I just said, okay, it's got radio in it, so I thought I'd look at it. And evidently, it's about Nicki Minaj. Now, if I understand the story correctly, Nicki Minaj, a low-talent, over-popular musical hack, is now running around talking about how people don't got to have talent to be on the radio anymore to be a music star. All they got to do is be popular. And I'm sitting up at here in the Bunker Eye studio at my desk, laughing my butt off. Now here's a no talent hack telling a bunch of other music stars that they don't have any. The only reason why they're making any money is because they're popular. Well, Nicki, honey, I've been saying that for a long time now. It's all about the look or the act. It has nothing to do with talent anymore. Because there are tons of talented people. I mean, you just look at American Idol. Some of the most talented singers and gifted singers on American Idol over all those years got booted early. Why? Because they weren't as pretty as some of the other singers. That's what it was all about. And come on, look, I know people get mad at me when I say this, but I'm sorry, folks. Taylor Swift doesn't have any talent. I mean, the songs that she writes, most of her own music, and you can tell which ones that she writes because the lyrics sound like a 5-year-old wrote them. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. And it's been that, you know, it's been that way for a while. And I mean, we've always had pretty boys and girls become music or stars or actors, acting stars. They don't have any talent. People just like looking at them and they go crazy over it. But there was a point in time when there was massive amounts of talents hitting the airwaves. And it didn't matter the genre of music. I mean, the 60s and 70s, early 70s, were fraught with people, well, full of people with massive talent. And then the late 70s, the music industry nearly died. And Michael Jackson proved that people with talent could and should reign supreme on the radio and in video. And in the 80s, mid to late 80s, we had a bunch of stars with massive amounts of talent. Yeah, we also had a whole bunch of people that were one-hit wonders. I think the 80s was not the 80s were the decade of massive talented stars, but it was also the decade of one-hit wonders. I think we had more one-hit wonders in the 80s than any other decade since they kept track of hits like that in Billboard history. So there was a lot of that too. But today we have a lot of one-hit wonders that stick around. I don't know how that well, you can blame the internet. Because they can become YouTube stars because they do crazy or stupid stuff. And They make one hit and they get lucky with the, strike gold with that one hit, and they think that they can, that they got some talent. They really don't. Because if this were the 70s or 80s, they would have been gone after one or two songs. Wouldn't hear from them again. But the internet allows people with no talent to hang around when it comes to stuff like that. And we've always said it used to be that the acting world was really, really the culprit of that type of thing, and not so much music. Let's face it. You know, a lot of, if you want to get into, you know, rock and roll and stuff like that, there were a lot of ugly people that had massive amounts of talent. Today, it doesn't matter if you're pretty or ugly. If you have talent, you get set aside for the person who's pretty. Or excuse me, if you don't have talent, you get set aside for the person who's pretty. Be it a boy or a girl. It doesn't matter, and especially on the, I don't know who's worse. If the male singers are worse than the female singers, they all have attitudes that are beyond belief. There is very little humility when it comes to music or acting stars today. I think music stars are worse than actors when it comes to lacking humility. I really do. I mean, the attitudes of musicians, well, use that term loosely, is absolutely atrocious. And you know what? I find that, now I'm not a huge country music star, but there are people that are getting upset because that type of attitude is now bleeding into the country music scene. The younger country music stars, I guess, are just becoming a-holes. Well, I hear that, there's an older one, middle-aged one. I hear Darius Rucker, formerly of Hootie and the Blowfish, he gets irate. From what I understand, he gets totally and completely irate if people request some old Hootie and the Blowfish stuff from him. Like, really? That's the stuff that made you, dude. That's what garnered your first fans. But he's strictly country music now. I mean, these attitudes have got to go when it comes to this kind of, when it comes to entertainment, man. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable how these people think, how much better they think that they are than you. And they flaunt their so-called success. I mean, don't even get me started on Jay and Bay. Don't even get me started on those two hypocrites. But the way they flaunt, and they may not even, you know, have a whole hell of a lot of anything, but they're sure out there renting it so they can flaunt it in a video. You know, maybe they don't, you know, they're a new, I find it amazing that you got some new star, especially a rapper, or somebody who thinks that they're R&B. Might I say that most of the music that's claims to be R&B today, rhythm, is not. It's not. It's just pop music. But, they get out. They haven't even had their first hit record. And they're talking about all the money that they make. You know, in their songs and in their video. Look. You know, I want to use the term bitch, please. That's just, well, it's it, they've given new meaning to the term fake it till you make it, because they fake it and keep faking it all the way through. That's the way it goes. But I thought it was hilarious that you had Nicki Minaj, of all people, Nicki Minaj, saying that the only reason why a lot of these other stars out there are still around and on the air is because they're popular. It was hilarious. I needed that laugh this morning, because going up to Vermont, there is something happening in Vermont. Folks, I mean, this is, I have no idea. When it comes to this stuff, I do know what's going on, but I am just flabbergasted. Now, there's a $10 word for you. And if you're from Rush Limbaugh's Rio Linda, you're going to have to look it up because I ain't going to explain the meaning of it. But I am flabbergasted about what happened in Vermont yesterday. Now, yesterday in Vermont, Democrat. Oh, by the way, before I get to Vermont, Minnesota. Minnesota has nominated its first Somali immigrant. I kid you not. Now, you might think that this is a wonderful thing. Oh, because, you know, Somalians are, you know, they're African-African, right? They're African blacks. And we've got a lot of Somalians here. Well, first of all, Somalians tend to be Muslim, but that put that aside. You know what party that he ran in? Democrat. Now, for anybody out there who doesn't think that the Democrat Party in this country is bringing in all of these so-called refugees and immigrants because out of the goodness of their heart, you got another thing coming. They're bringing in Democrat voters. Now I don't know the rules in Minnesota as far as running for public office, state legislator. I don't know if you have to be a citizen or not. But I find it interesting that you can get somebody who's not even a citizen who can run for office. And he runs as a Democrat. So what do you think he's going to do? He's going to get the Somali, those who've become citizens and probably illegals too. He's going to get the Somali vote in November. So don't for an instant think that the Democrats are doing all this stuff out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it for votes so they can seize power and keep it. And that's just proof right there. I'm sorry, but it is. Well, I'm sorry, not sorry. But in Vermont, what we got going on in... Hold on. In Vermont, what we got going on in Vermont is the... in the governor's race. Now, this is going to be a closely watched race in Vermont now, simply because the Democrats have nominated Christopher, who's now Christine. Now, I don't know what his male name was. Christine Hallquist. Yeah, transgender. First transgender. Now, this comes on the heels of a story yesterday that I saw that there was a lesbian pride parade. Where was that? Does anybody remember? There was a lesbian pride something going on that was started by lesbians. Now, the lesbians got kicked out by transgenders. Folks, you've got within the LGBT community, and I have said this before, that the LGB never liked the T. And this is why the LGBT community is about to endure a civil war, if you will. Now, I find it funny. And this is how I put it. I find it extremely funny and more than interesting that a bunch of men dressed as women, thinking that they're women, hating on women who act like men. Now, notice I didn't say that the lesbians wanted to be men because most of them hate men, which is the problem with the transgendered women because they are men. And lesbians aren't very accepting of men trying to become women. Well, they're not. And this is very... The lesbians up there, they're... I don't know how it worked or how it even happened, but they're ticked. You know, we started this, and we're not even allowed to participate in our own damn parade that we started. So this is going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. And as I have said before, now people didn't believe me on this. I have said before that the L and the G did not like the T. And people, well, no, that's not, they're all the same. No, they're not the same. And I have mentioned why they're not the same. Because frankly, what the L and G believe is that the T is giving them a bad name. Just like, you know, now you've got the L and G. And again, that would be for lesbian and gay men, lesbian women and gay men. They are up in arms right now. Not according to their leadership, you know, the loudmouth ultra-leftist lesbians and gays, those activists. But the rank and file, they're up in arms that anybody would even consider normalizing pedophilia in the form of, what is it? Now they want to call themselves pedosexuals. You know, I asked a few gay and lesbian people about that, and they flipped out. Well, because the reason is because, although it's not the majority yet, but a lot of L and B either have kids or are trying to get kids. They're parents, so they get it. It's not a good idea. So now there are lots of psychologists and psychiatrists that still believe. Now, I'm not a mental health professional, but they still believe that transgenders have mental issues. So if that's the case, what Vermont just did is they nominated somebody with mental issues to be governor of their state. I you know, folks, I wish I was making this up. And I know I'm going to get all kinds of hate mail for dumping on transgenders. And like I said, look, I don't hate them. I don't get them. I don't understand them. I have a personal friend that is making this transition thing, and I think there's something mentally wrong with him. I really do. Now, he gets mad at me sometimes because on occasion he listens to the program. And I know I'm not supposed to call him he anymore, or she. Well, I've said this time and time again. Your DNA says you can take all the drugs you want and all the hormones you want, and you can have all the surgeries you want. Your DNA still says you are he. So this is something I don't understand. I don't think I will ever understand it, even though I try like hell. You know, I try to see it from their point of view, but it just doesn't make any sense, folks. And it doesn't make any sense for Vermonters, the Democrat Party in Vermont, to nominate, other than, well, yeah, look how progressive we are. You know, as I have always said, feelings have no place in determining public policy. And the wonderful feelings that Democrats in Vermont are now having have no place in public policy, because if this person wins, well, first of all, you really are Vermont. You're going to be the laughing stock of the country. I mean, even California hasn't gone this way. And secondly, and this is where the struggle in Vermont is happening, because a lot of this stuff is happening with non-true Vermonters, not born and raised. And you know what you know what his big platform is? Bringing the internet to every house in Vermont. And I quote, we're going to have to knock on a lot of doors. What he's saying is he wants to force people who currently don't get, you know, landline internet service. They can't get it because the lines aren't strung out to them. But he's basically, what he's saying is that, well, you know, even if you don't want internet, we're going to wire your house anyway. That's what he's saying, folks. Because when you talk about knocking on somebody's door, when the government talks about knocking on your door, now I'm not talking about getting votes. When the government talks about knocking on your door, they're talking about requiring you to do something that you possibly don't want to do. By the way, well, one of the reasons that the current sitting Republican governor is having some issues, he had a hard time in the primary. He was challenged because he's got some very liberal ideas. Now, these people are moderates. You know, again, going back to the Obamacare, I didn't know this, but Vermont, has taken a cue from Obamacare, and even though that the on the federal level, Obamacare, you are not required anymore to have health insurance. If you're a Vermont citizen, you are required. Yep, you're required. Now, this is in such a small, very lowly populated state, folks. But anyway, got to take a break. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Rodical Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
So in Vermont, they've nominated Hishi for the governor. As you got to be kidding me, for governor in Vermont. Or am I already starting to experience board troubles this morning? Well, we'll see how we can limp through the day, I guess. We just have to take it 1 minute at a time, see how it goes. Typical for a Wednesday. In any case, when it comes to the Republican nominee out there in Vermont land, the Green Mountain State, by the way, there really is, I think at the last, they do this all the time, as partly as a joke, as a lark, but it's really true. There really are more cows in Vermont than people. So it is not a very populous state. And so it is very easy when you have a state that has such a low number of natural born people, it is easy to overtake them, influence and infiltrate from the outside. And Vermont has for a long period. Now you can thank the wonderful, one of my favorite holiday movies, you know, it's a Holiday Inn and White Christmas, those two, they really did Vermont a disservice. Well, because they made it very, very hip to be from the tri-state area, from Connecticut, New York, you know, down in that area, New Jersey, to go up to Vermont to vacation. It's such a beautiful state. Well, the problem is that these city dwellers, these leftist liberal city dwellers, they tend to glom on to things that they think are beautiful, and they want to experience it forever. So they move there. And there has been this migration from the tri-state area into Vermont for a few decades now. And we can see the pattern. Once a very solid red state, even before they gave colors to political parties, it was once a very solid red state, slowly became blue. And not because Vermonters, true Vermonters themselves, all of a sudden decided that they were going to be more progressive and liberal. No. They slowly became outnumbered. So this is the problem with certain kinds of migration, if you will. You know, you have a bunch of people that try to, this is what's happening in New Hampshire, in my own state. You get a bunch of people that are coming from these high taxed, highly regulated states. They're trying to escape it. You know, the people from Massachusetts, well, geez, you know, it's cheaper for me to live up here. Even though my house up here costs a little bit more, you know, for buying it. Costs a little bit more than the house that I sold in Massachusetts. I'm still saving a lot of money on taxes. And then they turn around and vote for people in this state who want to raise their taxes like happened in Massachusetts. No, you can't fix stupid. So all they're doing is spreading their stupidity. And they're taking it to states where people that live there don't want it. And they're forcing it down their throats, kind of like with this, you know, transgendered woman evidently wants to do with people for the internet. You know, and look, I have mentioned this before. See, government is so far behind the times. They're never on top of stuff when it comes to technology, except for military stuff, which, God, I hope they're on top of that type of stuff. But they're not on top of it, because most people in government have never run a business. Now, however, I guess Kristen Hallquist, or Hallquist, Hallquist, evidently, she is a former CEO of a Vermont utility company. That's got to be different for people who work there. Not going to lie. It's just that's got to be weird. But in any case, and the current governor is a former construction company owner. So you got a couple of CEOs going to battle it out there in Vermont. Now understand this. He says, or she says, I should say, it's hard to, you know, this is why I don't play these games with these people. You know, you often get confused, and you're trying to be nice about stuff, and you can't even keep it straight in your own head because it's so unnatural. But Hallquist says, who is a former utility a company CEO, has said that the way that they can do this cheaply is to get phone companies and utility companies to lay the fiber to people's homes. And it is now, if you do that, well, utility companies are going to want to be paid for that. Now, how are they going to be paid? Well, they're going to force people to hook up to some. You know, if you look at your utility bill, now, I don't know where you are in your neck of the woods, but I know up here there is something that's called basically a connection fee. Even if you don't use the service. So if you look at your electric bill, you know, you get paid, you know, around here it's like almost $15 a month just for the privilege to be connected to the grid. Just whether or not you actually use electricity, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're live somewhere where you can get a lot of sun and you have a bunch of solar panels on your roof, and there are people around it. Tesla, by the way, still working on the Tesla sponsorship here for this program, but you can get the so-called Tesla wall. And there are a bunch of solar companies in New England. I know of all places, New England. But there are people they're proud of showing people that actually cause the electric meter to spin backwards. Because especially during the summer months, we get an abundance of sun for these solar panels. And we got long days. But these people, one, have to get permission from the utility company to get hooked up. And then they still have to pay the access fee or the privilege to be connected. So even if you do not use an ounce, a volt of electricity from the utility company, and even if you don't spin the needle backwards or the dial backwards and send electricity to the grid instead of taking from it, so you could be total zero, and you still have to give the utility company up to $15 a month. What do you think is going to happen to people who are forced to connect to the internet? They're going to be forced to pay a so-called connection fee. Well, your house is connected. Whether you use it or not is up to you, but you're connected, so now you're going to have to give us some money every month just for the privilege of being connected. That's, folks, that's insidious. But this is what this person, Hallquist, wants to do. And believe it or not, there are people that think that that is a wonderful idea. Why? Oh, because everybody will be connected to the internet. Well, not everybody wants to be. And not everybody needs a landline connection. There are some people that are happy to have slower uploads and download speeds, and they have a satellite connection. They're happy with it. Believe it or not, there are people like that because they don't do a lot of things that some of us do on the internet that require high speeds. It doesn't take high speed to do research. You know, if you want to play music or watch videos, yeah, you're going to need higher speeds. But if all you want to do is what people used to do on the internet was just look up stuff and read it, you don't need high speed. But dial-up isn't good enough for some places, or according to Hallquist either. Yeah, there's still people out there that are connected with dial-up in the United States. Dial-up is also very, very prevalent. By the way, did you know that in Southeast Asia, dial-up is the main connection to the internet? And it's faster than our dial-up service? Look, we pay an awful lot. They don't pay an awful lot, comparatively speaking. I've mentioned this before, too, when it comes to the internet. London itself has more than 15 internet service providers, and you can get faster speeds than we have available here for as little as $15 a month, U.S. It's an amazing thing. But you know what? The reason is that, believe it or not, the English government has stayed out of the internet business. Our government is neck deep in it. And as a result, we have little to no competition and extremely high prices. Which then gives rise to these idiots like Hallquist saying, well, everybody needs to be connected. So, but one of the problems with the Republican candidate, and he went through a primary challenge, is because he's got this leftist idea about guns. Oh no! He doesn't want to take people's guns away. No, but he believes that there should be a limit on the bullet capacity that you can put into your gun. You can't make this up, folks. Here's a Republican that is all for requiring Vermonters to have health insurance, whether they want it or not or can afford it or not. And he's all about limiting your magazine capacity in a state where they're constitutional carry. And for those of you in Rush Limbaugh's Rio Linda, as long as you can legally have a gun, you don't need to have a permit. You can go out and buy one. If you can currently legally have a firearm, you can get one. You can carry it, concealed or open. That's for, in fact, you go into some of the smaller rural towns of Vermont, and I know that's kind of an oxymoron to say, well, are there no rural towns in Vermont? Well, if you go in the more Vermont-style rural towns, you'll still see people riding, driving around in a pickup truck with a shotgun sitting in the window. Perfectly legal. But he wants to make sure that you can't have a magazine that shoots more than 7 bullets if it's a rifle. You can't make this stuff up, folks. You cannot make this stuff up. But that's what's happening in Vermont. That's what's happening in Minnesota. We have all this stuff is, is Democrats trying to tell you how to live. That's it. These people believe that they know how to, what's best for you and how to live your life for you. And if you don't believe them, they are such busybodies that they will get all up in your business and tell you how to live. All the while feigning that they care about you when it has nothing to do with that. It's all about power. And again, for the life of me, I do not understand how anybody wants to run somebody else's life. I sure as hell don't. I have my hands full just running my own life. I sure as hell don't want to be in charge of somebody else's. That's ridiculous. But there are people like that, unfortunately, that have those evil thoughts. And by the way, there's got into a little spat on gab.ai with somebody who, now see if you can follow her reasoning. Just really quick here. She's a baby boomer, and she doesn't feel responsible for how millennials act or her own millennial children because she has a son-in-law that married a woman with kids and left her. So, no, I'm trying. I know it's Gab and it's Twitter. People often make grammar errors and spelling errors and things like that. But wouldn't that mean that if the guy is her son-in-law, that the guy married her daughter, and her daughter had kids? Now, she didn't explain whether or not the kids were his or not. I'm assuming so because he left the woman that he married who had kids. So that's what I'm assuming. But, you know, he's like, well, we tried to raise our kids right, but you can't, they become adults and make their own decisions. It's not our fault. Like, well, first of all, it takes two to tango. So if he left your daughter, there must have been some marital problems, which means your daughter was involved in those marital problems. And two, you know, there's this whole notion that train children so that in a way that they may not stray when they become adults, right? This biblical principle. And I had to explain, well, you know what? It is baby boomers' faults because they're the ones that raise these millennials. But then again, you know, the parental fault of baby boomers comes at the price of the parental fault of their parents. You know, believe it or not, there was a parental failure of the Greatest Generation. Now, what was their failure? Their failure is that after World War II, we had such prosperity that these parents, thinking that they were good parents, doing the right thing, not blaming them for it, they spoiled their kids. They did. They spoiled their kids. Now, those kids gave rise to became the baby boomer generation, the flower children of the 60s and 70s, who then in turn spoiled their kids, who are pretty much the millennials. So it is a parental failure. It's also an educational failure. Because the baby boomers were the first to experience the start of some of this indoctrination process in public school systems. So a little bit of indoctrination there, and they doubled down on it in the 80s and the 90s, and this is what we got in millennials today, who are now, by the way, starting to have kids of their own. How is that? That's going to give you nightmares. Yeah, millennials are having kids. Now, remember, I keep having to remind people this because everybody thinks that millennials are still, 21 or something. The leading edge of the millennial generation, they're almost 40. Yeah. I mean, these so-called kids are now 37, 38 years old. And they're starting to take the reins of power. And they're starting to be good little Democrats and vote along Democratic lines and getting people nominated and hope, well, they're hoping elected. Who do you think's voting for this transgendered person in Vermont? Well, it isn't the older Vermonters. It's the millennials. And that's the case, that's going to be the case going all around the country come this November. That is the scenario. Scenario. These almost sound like a New Englander there, putting letters where they don't belong. That is a scenario of what we have going on. Speaking of scenario, by the way, there is something here that I told you was going to happen. Well, Twitter changed their terms of service. And what happened almost immediately after changing their terms of service? Oh, they axed Alex Jones. I told you that's what they were doing. Yes, CNBC has got the story. Alex, Twitter cracks down on right-wing media personality Alex Jones now. Because remember, now before, when a week and a half ago or so, week ago, when Facebook, when all the other, you know, giant social media platforms were removing Alex Jones and his InfoWars and some of their videos or all of them, and Twitter was standing fast, and people were saying, why aren't you doing it, Twitter? And Twitter was saying, well, you know, it's our terms of service. You know, he hasn't broken our current terms of service rules. Well, now they got some new ones. And guess what? Alex Jones violated the new ones with old videos. So now they're cracking down on him. I told you this is what they're doing. They are manipulating their terms of service in order to fit their desires to be able to have cover for censoring you. And, of course, I brought you the story yesterday about Facebook deleting a few pages of some alternative or alt-left wing pages, but it's simply because they were told to do so by government officials. Hey, you need to, because look, Democrats don't want democratic socialists. The old guard, they don't want Democrat. They don't want Ocasio-Cortez. Nancy Pelosi does not want Ocasio-Cortez. Chuck Schumer does not want Ocasio-Cortez. None of those old guard, old boy network, old girl network want these young democratic socialists. They want young democratic progressives, yes, not democratic socialists. At least they don't want them to be overtly democratic socialists. Because, you know, believe it or not, what Nancy Pelosi believes is really not that much different from what Ocasio-Cortez believes. They just don't want these people running around out there saying, yeah, I'm a democrat socialist. They don't want that. Well, those millennials believe, hey, just tell people what you want, just like, you know, Bernie Sanders did. And it's not sitting well with him. So any of these groups that are going to be espousing democratic socialism and wanting to remove some of the old people in the Democrat Party from power, they're going to find themselves having the hammer of social media come down on them because they're being directed to do so. But at the same time, Facebook is out there in Australia telling Australian media, work with us or die. I'm not kidding. Work with us or end up in a hospice. Campbell Brown, Facebook's head of news partnership, is said to have told a group of Australian media executives that their businesses would die without their help. You're gonna die if you don't work with us. Meaning, if you don't do what we tell you to do, Facebook is telling these people this, you don't do what we tell you to do, we're gonna kill your business. I mean, can you get more socialistic or fascist than that? Can you get more fascist than that? No, I don't think so. I think that's pretty... These people are now, they don't, well, you know, millennials are coming of age into their middle age and they're feeling their oats and they have some power and some money. and they're going to use it. And unfortunately, if they use that power and money, it is not going to be to advance your freedom and your ability to live your life the way you want to. Oh, no, no, no. These people know what's best for you. Abso-freaking-lutely. Intel report up next.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two.